Now, I want to move on down into this chapter, and if you'll notice here, verse 7, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they're wanting to him. Now, this is something that is quite true. The brethren of the poor, they do hate him. Now, not in the way that you and I think of. They just don't have much to do with him. In other words, the man that is prosperous, he looks out in his driveway and he sees one of his brothers that's near do well drive up in an old jalopy, and he says to his wife, he says, "Wait, let's get in the bedroom and lock the door and act like we're not even at home." Now, that's what it means to hate your brother. That is, your friends and your brethren will not have much to do with you when you're poor. Poor don't do very well in this world, by the way. We hear a great deal today about the different ones. If they get into office, they're going to help all of us poor people. But they help me out of more taxes. Every time we have an election, my taxes go up. I don't know why that's true, but it always happens that way. And every time somebody's going to relieve me. But nobody has yet. And you want to know something? I don't think anybody will. My feeling is today, problems have mounted so that no man can solve these problems. And any man, and I don't care who he is, that says that he can solve the problems of this world, that man, well, the Lord calls him a fool down here in Proverbs, and he told me not to do it, so I won't do it. But God calls that kind of a man that boasts like that. You know what we need? We need somebody to call us back to God. Somebody to say, look, I don't have the answer. I want to serve, and I want to serve God. And I'd love to see the problem solved, and I'll do the best I can, but let's pray about it. Let's turn to God for a change. Well, we've tried everything else today, and I think it would be well to try God. And I think it'd be better to listen to him than to listen to so much of TV today. And my feeling is that we need to hear God now. We've heard everybody else. They've all been on the talk shows. They've all had their little bit. They have passed across the stage of human events, and they've strutted and said their little say. And it hasn't been very impressive. We need today to turn to God. Now we have here, as I move on down to verse 13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Now remember last time he said the one who finds a wife, and that's a real wife, he finds a good thing. That is, he finds the other half of it. She's to be a helpmeet. She's not to be a servant. That idea today that men have the wives to obey me. She's not to obey you. Where'd you get that idea that she's to obey you? She's to submit herself to you, of course, provided you're the right kind of a man. And if you're not, I don't think God has asked her to submit herself. The only instructions I find about submitting is in a Christian home, to a Christian husband who loves his wife just like Christ loves the church. And when you got that kind of a husband and lady, you can submit yourself to him. But until you get that kind of a man, I don't think God's asked you to. I hope I'm not starting something, but somebody needs to say this today. And then, may I say to you that we need to see this. This one almost makes you laugh. Well, it's tragic, though. Think of the poor husband that's got a foolish son. And then he's got a wife that she's contentious. And you can imagine what kind of a home that he lives in. And I'm not sure, but what that foolish son and that contentious wife are somehow or another related here. But it's wonderful when you find the right kind of a wife, by the way.